We went back to the cellar of the house where he lived. I said I thought a ridge that flattened out on top and had a little depth would be easier and more practical to hold than a succession of small mountains. It was no harder to attack up a mountain than on the level, I argued.
That depends on the mountains, he said. Look at San Gabriele.
Yes, I said, but where they had trouble was at the top, where it was flat. They got up to the top easy enough.
Not so easy, he said.
Yes, I said, but that was a special case because it was a fortress rather than a mountain anyway. The Austrians had been fortifying it for years. I meant, tactically speaking, in a war where there was some movement, a succession of mountains were nothing to hold as a line because it was too easy to turn them. You should have possible mobility, and a mountain is not very mobile. Also, people always overshoot downhill. If the flank were turned, the best men would be left on the highest mountains. I do not believe in a war in mountains. I had thought about it a lot, I said. You pinched off one mountain, and they pinched off another. But when something really started, everyone had to get down off the mountains.
What were you going to do if you had a mountain frontier? He asked.
I had not worked that out yet, I said, and we both laughed. But, I said, in the old days the Austrians were always whipped in the quadrilateral around Verona. They let them come down onto the plain and whip them there.
Yes, said Gino, but those were Frenchmen, and you can work out military problems clearly when you are fighting in somebody else's country.
Yes, I agreed. When it is your own country, you cannot use it so scientifically.
The Russians did, to trap Napoleon.
Yes, but they had plenty of country. If you tried to trap Napoleon in Italy, you would find yourself in Brindisi.
A terrible place, said Gino. Have you ever been there?
Not to stay.
I am a patriot, Gino said, but I cannot love Brindisi or Taranto.
Do you love the Banzitza? I asked.
The soil is sacred, he said. But I wish it grew more potatoes. You know, when we came here, we found fields of potatoes the Austrians had planted.
Has the food really been short?
I myself have never had enough to eat, but I am a big eater, and I have not starved. The mess is average. The regiment in the line get pretty good food, but those in support don't get so much. Something is wrong somewhere. There should be plenty of food.
The dogfish are selling it somewhere else.
Yes, they give the battalions in the front line as much as they can, but the ones in the back are very short. They have eaten all the Austrians' potatoes and chestnuts from the woods. They ought to feed them better. We are big eaters. I am sure there is plenty of food. It is very bad for the soldiers to be short of food. Have you ever noticed the difference it makes in the way you think?
Yes, I said. It can't win a war, but it can lose one.
We won't talk about losing. There is enough talk about losing. What has been done this summer cannot have been done in vain.
I did not say anything. I was always embarrassed by the words sacred, glorious, and sacrifice, and the expression in vain. We had heard them, sometimes standing in the rain, almost out of earshot, so that only the shouted words came through, and had read them on proclamations that were slapped up by bill posters over other proclamations now for a long time. And I'd seen nothing sacred, and the things that were glorious had no glory. And the sacrifices were like the stockyards at Chicago if nothing was done with the meat except to bury it. There were many words that you could not stand to hear, and finally, only the names of places had dignity. Certain numbers were the same way, and certain dates, and these with the names of the places were all you could say and have them mean anything. Abstract words such as glory, honor, courage, or hallow were obscene beside the concrete names of villages, the numbers of roads, the names of rivers, the numbers of regiments and the dates. Gino was a patriot, so he said things that separated us sometimes, but he was also a fine boy, and I understood his being a patriot. He was born one. He left with Paduzzi in the car to go back to Gorizia.